This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Ryan and I had so much fun in the last episode and so much to share when it comes to creating interesting content. We thought we would just continue the conversation. Ryan, please tell our listeners what they are in for on today's episode.
Yeah, Greg, we couldn't fit everything that we wanted to share into just one episode. So we are here today with part two of our Creating Interesting Podcast Content. And today we're going to dive into five key areas to consider when you're creating compelling content or content that you intend to be compelling. And really, these areas will apply whether you're creating a podcast or even just preparing your next speech for your Toastmasters Club or for whatever audience you might be speaking in front of. In addition to that, today we are going to manage to touch upon angler fishing, ice fishing, and drone technology. So if you're wondering what the connection between those things is, you will just have to listen. Let's get right to it.
Now, for those of you out there, you may or may not have any ready-made content. I mean, we're fortunate that we often have ready-made content, but sometimes ready-made content isn't available. You're not sure what guest speakers to have. So you might be thinking, what are some of the ways that you can keep things interesting? So maybe Ryan, you want to give us a little insight on that?
Sure. So I think the first thing is to really think about what is the theme of your podcast going to be. I guess I could start a show and just call it the Ryan Levesque Show, and every week just talk about something that's interesting to me. I might talk about jump roping one week. I might talk about, Brexit the next week. I might talk about coronavirus, Saturday morning cartoons when I was growing up. But of course, these are like really broad topics, and I'm not a celebrity, so nobody really cares what I think about all things that happen to pop into my brain at any given time. You want to stick to a theme, something that's got a focus to it. You don't want to go too far afield so that people know what to expect and what to come back for. And I think it's can be really advantageous. And I think there's a trend in podcasting of people taking like a micro niche or micro niche, if you prefer that pronunciation. Not only, you could have a show about investing, but what if you had a show about investing in cryptocurrency? You can see how that's like a smaller niche or angle within the broader topic of investing.
Like fishing or using ice fishing in Alaska, just to sort of narrow that down even a little bit.
Or for that matter, I recently came across this realm of fishing. I'm not someone who's into fishing, but I just happened to come across it, called drone fishing, where people actually use a drone and have fishing line hooked up to it, use the drone to look down into the water below. And when they see the fish, they drop the line, the anchor and the hook right there into the water to catch their prey. I don't know if you call it a prey when it's call it prey when it's a fish, but you know, that's a real niche that I think could appeal to a lot of people. People who are really into drone fishing, they would want to hear that podcast. Absolutely. And there's probably not a ton of competing content for it, I would think.
Is this serious?
It's absolutely serious. Yeah, totally. Drone fishing. Look it up.
I'm thinking to myself here in terms of talking about interest or creating interest. You see, for myself, I wouldn't really be that interested in fishing, but of course, as a gadget guy, I might be interested in the drones aspect. So I'm thinking then you could have someone who may not necessarily be that interested in the topic per se, like fishing, but yet the technology aspect or some element of it might do the job, might do the trick.
Yeah. I don't know if you could combine ice fishing with drone with drones, though, Craig. Just thinking about that now.
Oh, yeah, unless they could drill through the ice.
Yeah, put some kind of like boring drill, mount that onto the hook.
I don't even know why fishing came into my head. I know ice came into my head because this morning it was minus 29 Celsius or minus 20 Fahrenheit with the wind chill, but never mind.
Yeah, that's tough, real tough. Whether it is drone fishing or ice fishing or whatever, if you're naturally interested in it and you have that passion, then your listeners probably will be as well, because as we know, enthusiasm is contagious.
How true, very true. So number one is topic selection. Number two, you want to identify your audience. Again, what is it they want to know? What is it they need to know? What's important to them, right? That old acronym, WIFM, what's in it for me? And also, why should they care? So staying along the lines of the fishing, you might want to have, you may have an episode called The 5 Best Places to Fish in Alaska, or What Can You Catch Up in Alaska? What's the best bait to use? Maybe even interview stories from the pros, because I'm certainly not a pro, or maybe even all of them. You can even hook them, pardon the pun, with maybe a few tips, a few tips, hints, or tricks that they could use to be a better angler. Is that the term?
Yes, it is. It is.
And how about with drones, Ryan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a plethora of topics that you could go into there that would be, I think, of interest to your audience, from the best types of drones to use, really getting into the technology of it, techniques, just like with the ice fishing that you mentioned, techniques for increasing your catch rate when you're drone fishing. There's so many places you can go in there. And by the way, if you are listening to this and you're a drone fishing enthusiast, go ahead and make your drone fishing podcast and let us know. We want to hear it.
So in essence, when we're talking about the topic and the audience, we're saying what's exciting about the topic, what's exciting about the topic for them, right?
Yeah, exactly, Greg. Because again, to use your joke, you want to hook your listener. You want to give them that why to keep listening and to keep coming back every episode to hear your bait.
Sounds good. So I agree. Ryan wants to know about fishing. I want to know about the technology behind drones. So whoever comes up with that podcast, drop us a line and we'll certainly have you on the episode. Okay, so topic, audience. I think the third thing in terms of keeping it interesting, and this is also very true with respect to speeches, is to try to look for inspirational stories. You might want to include some facts and figures, but you don't want to make that the topic. Perhaps if you're thinking of having a podcast about overcoming some health issues, maybe in a particular area, you can include some health stats. You don't necessarily want to focus in on all the statistics. You maybe want to talk to experts or people who have been there, share their story, or perhaps share your story.
Right. And yeah, again, for us, with just the whole world of Toastmasters, this worldwide community of so many inspiring people, amazing stories, unfathomable odds that have been overcome by so many of our members, many of which, again, featured in the magazine, it gives us just this embarrassment of riches to choose from in terms of producing our show. And by the way, if folks haven't seen this, we did recently make some updates to our website at toastmasterspodcast.com. And one of the things you'll find on there is a number of different tags, and there is one for inspiration. So if you want to see the most inspirational podcasts in our feed, just click on that and it'll show you all of the episodes that we tagged as inspirational.
Sounds great. I'll have to check that out because it's brand new for me too.
All right. Another recap again. We've got the topic selection. We've got the identification of the audience, the inspirational stories. And then number four is creative questioning. And we talked about this a little bit already. We'll say another word about it. Asking the questions that go beyond the obvious of the who, what, when, why, how, going a little bit deeper. And an example that I came across as I was listening to some of our past episodes is podcast number 97 with Kristen Arnold on moderating a panel discussion. Greg, in this interview, I thought you asked a really insightful question. Kristen was talking about how if you're moderating a panel, it's better to not be a subject matter expert on that topic, which in some ways sounds counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. She explained why that was so, and then you followed up with, well, how do you gain credibility as a panel moderator with that audience if you're not a subject matter expert? And I thought that was a really insightful question, one of those, like, you know, let's again drill a little bit deeper into this. It, of course, surfaced some great insights from Kristen as to exactly why she believes that.
Yeah. Even the topic itself was interesting because quite often as Toastmasters, we don't necessarily think of moderating a panel as a topic to cover or an area to cover. I know in the Legacy program, there was, I believe, piloting a panel. I think that was one of the projects, but it's certainly an area that you could put your Toastmaster skills to work.
For sure.
One of the themes that you may have noticed in our entire conversation here is that a lot of it revolved around questions. And one of the things that often comes up, or a question that we're often asked, is whether we can or should we provide questions to the person we're interviewing in advance or not. That's something that we might want to cover more in detail in an episode on interview techniques. But Ryan, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you know, there is something that I think is really special about hearing the spontaneous thoughts, almost the table topic nature of an interview when the person we're interviewing does not have the questions in advance. Now, that you know, there are times when people will request them, or at least request maybe a little bit more focus as to what we're intending to talk about. And that's totally fine. I actually right now, Greg, have a podcast production client I'm producing a podcast for. And we tried something a little bit different that's so far has been working really well. And that is, he does not provide questions in advance for the guests. But what we do is we have two questions that we ask in advance. One, we ask them to answer for us in advance. And the other, we just say, you know, this is a little something a little deeper to reflect upon and really think about deeply before we interview. Have your thoughts on that and show up to the podcast ready to talk about it. And the other one, give us some advance notice so we can be prepared to drill a little deeper. And that's just one little segment of the show. It's a much, in this case, it's an hour long format. But having that little bit of structure, I think, provides some additional confidence on both ends.
Yeah, having the questions in advance also can help put things into perspective. The challenge that you might run into, and this has happened to us on more than one occasion, is where someone is so good at their preparation that they'll naturally try to read their answers,
right,
rather than make it sound natural. And it just sounds too much like a narrative, and it doesn't sound as natural as it could be. You also run the risk, and this happened in one particular episode, where the individual was insistent that we give him the questions ahead of time. And then after asking the first question, he proceeded to answer all the subsequent questions pretty much in that one response. So of course, at the end of that, there was, do you remember this, Ryan? It was just dead air. It's like, okay, now where do we go from here?
Yeah, in a situation like that, Greg, that's where the research that we did ahead of time and the ability to think on your feet and ask creative questions and to go deeper, and frankly, even to over-prepare, right? To have more possible directions to go and to explore than you'll have time for, so that if you do run into a situation like that, you're not slamming into a stop sign. You're just having to yield and then turn in a different direction than you were intending.
Now, of course, there was a little dead air after that for a moment. And of course, that's the reason why we edit our podcasts.
Yeah, that's the magic of editing right there, for sure.
Yeah, they're never perfect the first time. Ryan, it looks like we've already bridged into number 5 with respect to keeping your content interesting. And that is looking at different formats. Sometimes a particular topic or a speaker or even just the nature of the podcast can be better served or made more interesting by having a different format. The most common is the Q&A, question and answer, like we do for the most part on this show. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a formula that works, but you can also vary it. And that's something that we did on a recent episode, which we haven't aired yet. This was Ryan's brainchild. So Ryan, you want to share that a little bit with us?
Yeah. So we did an interview with the new world champion, Aaron Beverly. For that one, I had the idea to go out to the Facebook page for the official Toastmasters International members group and crowdsource some questions for Aaron Beverly. We had a number of people who responded, and we were able to ask those questions of Aaron in a lightning round format. So we prepped them for it, that these are going to be really quick, sort of rapid fire questions with quick answers. And that was a lot of fun. It was a bit of a change up to our usual style and format.
I thought it was great. I thought we got really good engagement from the Toastmasters community. And the reason we had to go to the lightning round was that we had so many questions. In fact, there were a few individuals that had multiple questions, but right. It's also going to give them an opportunity to get their 15 seconds of fame.
For sure. For sure. Of course, there's also commentary episodes. Some shows are strictly commentary, whether it be with one person or multiple hosts. And that's really what we're doing here. As we said, we're a little bit different change today. We're usually interviewing someone, and today it's just Greg and I chatting about this topic.
And it's not like we didn't have other people to speak to.
Yeah, that's true.
But sometimes it can happen too. It can also happen sometimes that maybe you have a guest lined up and that individual isn't around. But it's also an opportunity for you, if you have a particular expertise, to make yourself shine a little bit.
Yeah. Some other things that we've done on this show, and I've heard other shows do, are live events. Bo and I did a couple of these at international conventions where we did a live show in a conference room at the hotel, wherever the convention was, and had, 30, 40, however many people in the room. In some cases had, played a game and had people come up from the audience, interact with us, answer a table topics question or whatever. I think we did a form of Jeopardy in Palm Desert. Gary Schmidt sat in on that one. He was the international president at the time, I believe. So that was pretty cool. There's also sort of the on-location or field reporting aspect. I know you did some of that at one of the conventions too, Greg.
Oh, yes. In 2017, I had an opportunity of roving around with a microphone and a recorder in Vancouver. And I did actually a couple of episodes came out of that. One, I had an opportunity to sit down with past international president, Pat Johnson. She was the chair of the 2017 committee, and to talk to her a little bit about what it was like being a chair. Another episode was talking to the volunteers. I had an extended conversation with the volunteer coordinator and then proceeded to speak to at least a half a dozen different volunteers and got their perspective. And it was quite eye-opening. And the final one was just little snippets of speaking with first-timers and convention attendees on what they were enjoying about the convention, what their take was from it, why they came here and where they were from. That was three episodes that came out of that one event.
Yeah, and I remember in Orlando in 2012, Bo and I did a series we called Elevator Speeches. Do you remember that one, Greg? Where we were basically just riding the elevator in the hotel, and as Toastmasters came into the elevator, we would give them a table topics question they had from whatever floor we were on till we hit the bottom to answer that question.
And it was a real elevator too.
It was. Yep. Those were real elevator speeches. In addition to that, there were a couple fun things. I ended up producing that particular episode. I think Bo had to leave early. So I was there on the day of the international speech contest, and I recorded a little bit before the contest started from the ballroom floor, and you could hear the roar of the crowd behind. And I recorded as the winner was being announced, as well as had a chance to speak with Ryan Avery. I was going to say minutes after he won, but that's actually not accurate. He had such a huge crowd of people around him. It took a while till I got my chance. And I did something else. I don't know if you remember this, Greg, but I also was at the It's a Small World ride at Disney.
Oh, yes, I know. It's a Small World After All, playing ad nauseum. Yes, yes, yes.
I did a little field recording from that ride as well. So that was kind of fun.
Yes, I mean, we've just scratched the surface in terms of ways that you can make your content interesting. But I think, Ryan, we probably forgot to mention one that I think would appeal and apply to everyone.
Yeah, of course. Everybody listening to this, it sort of goes without saying, but it can't hurt to remind ourselves to use your Toastmaster skills, right? The way we speak, our vocal variety, our enthusiasm, to let all of that bubble over and come out in the delivery of the podcast, as opposed to just listening to a monotone delivery about whatever the topic happens to be.
And even those gestures will actually come through the microphone. Try it sometime.
That's right. Can you see my big, bold gesture right now as I'm speaking to you?
No, but think about it. Record something sitting there, just sitting in front of the microphone without moving, and then start moving around and then see, and then play the recording back and see how that sounds. You know, as you were saying this, Ryan, it reminded me of a speech that an individual gave at our home club a number of years ago. And ironically, his name was Ryan, talking about something that perhaps one may not necessarily find interesting, but yet you find interesting. And the example was, this individual gave a speech on how to spot fake Cuban cigars. Now, I'm not sure. I don't believe that these types of cigars are allowed in the US. I don't smoke. I'm not that particularly interested in cigars. But this individual, Ryan, was so passionate about it. He was passionate about it. He made the content very interesting. He gave lots of examples. And it was like, out of the thousands and thousands of speeches that I've heard over the years, this one just stays top of mind. Perfect example of how you can make something like that interesting. And if he had decided to do a podcast episode on it, I'd probably listen to it.
Wow. That's probably because this person you're talking about put those Toastmasters skills to work like we were just discussing. So that's really cool.
Well, fellow Toastmasters and future Toastmasters listening, we hope that you found this episode on podcasting interesting.
Yeah. And if you found this helpful, we'd love to hear some feedback, and perhaps we might do some more episodes about podcasting, stepping out again of that usual format. Let us know. Where can folks find us on Twitter, for example, Greg?
Well, you can find us on Twitter at the TM Podcast. You can also find us on iTunes, which is now Apple Podcast, Google Podcast. There's also links from the Toastmasters International website. And you can also find us at Toastmasterspodcast.com.
Yes, we do invite you to check out Toastmasterspodcast.com. You can find the episodes that we referenced in this show there, and you can also leave us a comment at the bottom of the show episode. So again, if you want to hear more podcasts about podcasting, let us know and we shall oblige.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.